Grace, mercy, and peace to each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you please bow your head with me? Oh, gracious Father, we pray that you would attend your word now and that you would keep your promise and not just attend it to our ears, but attend it in our hearts. Apply it and make it bear fruit. And we pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. The last time that I was in jail, last time I visited a jail, it was a brand new facility in Dallas County, Alabama, the county jail there, brand spanking new and shiny. And as I walked in, though, immediately I was met with a dismal air about the place. I think one of the great testaments to the sinfulness of human beings is that in every community of any size, there's a jail. When people commit a crime, when they're accused of a crime, when they're charged with a crime, oftentimes they get to spend time in that jail, in that facility. So why then, when we come to our verses this morning, the ones that are printed in our bulletin that we will read in a moment, why are Paul and Silas in jail? What is the crime that they have committed? Well, if you remember this story of when St. Paul visited Philippi with Silas, their crime is casting a demon out of a slave girl who had been used and no doubt abused by her masters to tell fortunes. And once they cast the demon out, she wasn't able to tell futures anymore for anyone. And so the owners of this slave had Paul and Silas thrown into jail. They had ruined those masters' livelihoods. And not only were they thrown in jail, but they were beaten with rods before they were thrown in jail. And yet, even so, though they're in that dismal place with bleeding backs, even so, they were singing praises to God at midnight. When right in the middle of their songs, an earthquake occurred. Now, if you know something about earthquakes, you know that once you get away from the fault in the earth that caused it, the earthquake travels as a wave. And the earth actually lifts up in a wave form as the wave travels along. And as it lifted one side of the prison, the gate came unlatched. It just lifted one side before the other side and unlatched the gate or the door, whatever it was they had on that prison. And it swung wide open. And the gatekeeper now had an emergency on his hands because he was asleep at the time. And this jailer sees the gate wide open when he wakes up from the earthquake. And he believes that maybe he was derelict in his duty. And for a Roman jailer to have been derelict in his duty, why, that was shameful and punishable. Often the penalty was death. And so we pick up our story here with verse 27, and here's what we read. And when the jailer had been roused out of sleep and had seen the prison doors opened, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. Verse 28. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we're all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear. Did you catch that? He is shaking. He fell down before Paul and Silas, and after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved, you and your household." This jailer was shaking with fear. I suppose that he has been brought to a point in his life where that he has never seen before, where he realizes that he needs to be saved. And Paul and Silas respond. And that is where we pick up now in verse 32 with the lesson recorded in our bulletin for this morning. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them. And he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. It's kind of an amazing story of this guy, isn't it? Right here in these verses, we see a short overview of the life of a Christian. Notice we see first a guy in need. He realizes his need, and in fact, he's suicidal. Notice also what he asks of Paul and Silas. Apparently, he's already heard their message enough to know that he needs to be saved. Now, they had been in Philippi for a while, maybe that's where he heard them, or maybe he heard them as they were in the jail, but somehow he knew that he needed to be saved. Saved from what is the next question? Well, he needs to be saved from the same thing that you need to be saved from. That I need to be saved from. And that is from the consequences of our sin. Another way to say it is that you need forgiveness from the one you have sinned against. That is God. Now, we sin against people from time to time, but every sin we sin is against God. So another way to say it is that he needs forgiveness from God, but how do you get that forgiveness? That's what he's asking. And that is what Paul answers when he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Now, in Rome, there were a lot of gods to pick from, and some communities had special gods that they worshipped more than all the other Roman gods. You see that, by the way, in Ephesus, right, where they worshipped Diana more than they worshipped some of the other gods. But why Jesus Christ? If you're a Roman, why Jesus Christ as opposed to all the other gods? Well, for the same reason, if you're an American, why Jesus Christ as opposed to all of the other gods that Americans have? Because of all of those gods, there's only one that's real. And he's the one that became a man. And you can see him in history. He was a real person. He was really here walking on this earth. And he lived a life in your place. The life that you lived that's not perfect. He replaced it with his life that was perfect. And he died a death in your place, where he actually paid the price of your sin. You see, the soul that sins it shall die. His soul never sinned. It didn't have to die. He died your death. He paid for your sins upon the cross. And he offers that forgiveness to you. The neat thing is he offers it for free. That's why, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. And so we see, first of all, a man who comes to believe that he needs a Savior. And secondly, we see a man who comes to believe that he has a Savior. And thirdly, then, in our verses for this morning, we see a man who right away begins to live for his Savior. That's really a summary of the Bible, isn't it? It shows us that we need a Savior, shows us that we have a Savior, and it shows us how we live for our Savior. Man, that's a quick turnaround, don't you think, for this guy? From a man who is so self-absorbed that the only answer he can think of to rid himself of his shame is to kill himself, to now someone whose first concern is for his family and for the wounds of Paul and Silas. Listen to this again, verse 32. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. He went home in the middle of the night and he woke them all up. That's how much he realized that not only he, but they needed to know the Lord Jesus. Now, the earthquake occurred after midnight. This may have been 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning when he wakes them up. Can't you see how important it is to him to make sure that not only he, but his entire family knows the Lord Jesus? It is too important to wait for another time. It is life and death. In fact, it's more than life and death. It's eternal life and death. If you come from a family that has someone in it who does not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ, pray for them. And pray for them every day that God will make the love of himself and of his son Jesus Christ clear to them and bring them to know Jesus. And do not stop praying for them until it happens. And maybe it will happen through you, maybe through someone else. But do not stop praying for them until it happens. And I want to say a special word to the young men who are here this morning. Because when you get married, and some of you already are married, but when you get married, for those who are not, God will lay upon your shoulders a special responsibility of leading your family in spiritual things. I have seen many men shirk that responsibility and leave it up to their wife. Do not do that. Take the responsibility that God gives to you and lead your family in devotions. Take your children to be baptized. Bring them to worship. Bring them to the Lord's Supper. And you will have the joy of seeing God fulfill his promise in their lives when you see them with you in heaven. May God grant that for every one of us. May the peace that passes all understanding keep your heart and mine into life everlasting. Amen.